Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, a listener-supported ministry. In fact, thank you so much for being part of that support for James Dobson Family Institute.
The fear is very real that if they don't help, their child will not make it. But you know what I challenge them with? How do you know? How do you know that God might have a plan? How do you know when you step back that your adult child may show you an amazing side you've never seen? I didn't know what would happen in my son's life, but I had to believe that God had a better plan than me.
Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and today you will hear the remainder of a conversation Dr. Dobson had with author Allison Botke on this tough issue of prodigal children. Now, on yesterday's program, Allison shared the story of her son, Chris, and how his rebellious nature drove him to a prison and why parents can't enable the bad behavior of their kids. On today's broadcast, Allison will give parents very practical steps to break the cycle of allowing their child's behavior to continue and emphasizes the importance of making a plan of action for parenting a prodigal child. Here now is part two of Dr. Dobson's conversation with author Allison Botke here on Family Talk.
Now, last time, Allison, we talked about what you say to the parents that you're speaking to at these conferences that you're holding all over the country. First of all, confirm for me my expectation that people are just sponges for the information you're giving because they are struggling and hurting so much.
Yes, they are.
And you're addressing your comments specifically to those whose children are legal adults. And yet the parents are still playing a parenting role. And they're still trying to get them out of jail. And they're still paying the fine. And they're doing whatever they need to do to enable that individual. Now, they don't see it as enabling, obviously. They think of it as just helping. But you have made a distinction between the two.
Yes.
One more time, explain what that distinction is.
Helping is doing something for someone that they are not capable of doing themselves. And enabling is doing something for someone that they can and should be doing for themselves.
All right. What's the first step?
It spells sanity. It's S, and it's stop the enabling, stop the guilt, stop the self-blame, and a real key, doctor, stop the flow of money. Hmm. When we cut off the money train, a lot of things change.
That's very difficult to do, but it's the first step, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We have to really realize that what we're doing isn't working. We're on that gerbil wheel, and we've got to stop. So the stop has to happen first. Stop. If you know that there's a habit going on here, you've got to change it. If you know that it's not getting any better, the drugs get worse, the calls to the police get worse, the money that you're spending is worse, you're at a point where you're losing your retirement savings. And this is what's happening with parents around the country. Mm.
I wish everybody understood that. You know, our son Ryan will tell this story, so I'm sure it's okay for me to share it as well. But he went off to college, and he wasn't quite ready for college life and for all the studying and everything that went with it, and was not doing well academically. And after the second year, we had a little conversation. There was no anger or anything. I just said, you know, Ryan, we're helping to pay the bill here, and there's no free ride in life, and you're not earning it. So if you do get another D, you call me. And he said, okay, that's fair. And he called me in several months and said, Dad, I got another D. And I said, okay, Ryan, figure out what you're going to do with your life, because it isn't going to be like this. You know, I'm not going to pay the bills if that is the way, because he's bright as he can be. He came back to Colorado Springs, got a job in a bakery, and of course hated it. And he came home one night and said, boy, Dad, those people are going nowhere. And I said, I know. That's what I was telling you. And I said, I volunteered. I said, you want to take one more run at it? And he said, I would love it. And so he chose Biola University in Southern California. And I said, I'll give you one semester. You can have one semester at a time. Went back, graduated, and he's out there doing work for the Lord. I'm so proud of him. But I had to have the courage, as James Dobson and James Dobson's son to take a step that was very, very hard. I didn't know if he'd ever get back to college. I had no guarantee that this wouldn't get him off, you know, a career path where he could use the talent that he had. But he told me a while back he never respected me more than that decision. And it was a turning point in his life. But my goodness, that's hard to do.
It is hard. And tough love, as you said, it's not as tough on the kids as it is on the parents often. It's tough for us to do that. Respect is what exactly happens. My son is respecting me more. There was no respect. When you continually bail them out and you don't hold true with what you say. Now, when you told your son that he couldn't come home, that you weren't paying again, you had to stick with that. You know, and then allow him to go out and experience the bakery and experience that and come back. And then you gave him another chance, a semester at a time. This isn't happening out there. What's happening is so many parents just, you know, keep doling out the money.
Well, we live in a very permissive age where children are not held to accountability even at 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. They need to learn it then. And if they don't learn it then, it's going to be harder when you get into the adolescent years and beyond.
It's very hard, but you can stop right now. So, you know, I tell when I am speaking, S insanity, stop. You know you're in pain. You're crying. You're sitting there saying, my son is this, my daughter is this. Okay, stop. Step back, stop. And then look at what it is you're going to stop. You know, what is it that you have to stop? We have to look at ourselves, doctor. You know, it's these. We have to look. I had to see what it was in me.
Yeah.
It's not my son's drug problem is the problem. Yes, that's a problem for him. But for me, my problem is what I'm doing with this. Mm. It's so difficult for parents to see our part that we play in it because their lives are so messed up. They're the ones that are in trouble. They're the drug addicts. I'm not. They're the alcoholics. I'm not. They're not working. I am. Of course, they have all the problems. No, it's...
But you take the responsibility
for
it because
exactly.
You can see mistakes that you made that led in this direction.
And why am I doing this?
Now, one of the other steps, I believe, from your book is forgiveness.
That's a very, very big step. Right, that's not one of the six sanity steps, but that's a real part of it, forgiveness.
You're asking the child to forgive you?
There's five of them. It's asking the child to forgive me, yes, but it's also forgiving him whether he's asked for it or not. It's asking the Lord to forgive me for what I've done. Forgiveness is a very important part of
this. You're missing one. What about forgiving yourself?
Forgiving, thank you.
For the things that you failed at.
Exactly.
You know, there comes a point where you have to say, okay, so I did. Yes.
Exactly.
I did the best I could. I was trying so hard. And I love that child so much, but I made mistakes. And I've got to live with them, and I'm going to give them to the Lord, and I'm not going to wallow in them.
Exactly. And that's where the A in sanity is important, to be assembling a support group. Get around other parents. We are not alone. This is really one of the big things I'm seeing out there. Parents are coming out of the woodwork and they're saying, finally, somebody understands. You know, they're afraid to talk about their kids that are in prison or that are on drugs or because they just don't know what to do anymore.
What's the next one?
And nip excuses in the bud. Nip our own excuses and theirs. And after a while, we really do know when it's an excuse. And our own, why we're doing this.
We're spelling out the acrostic here is sanity.
Sanity, exactly. Nip excuses. And we really do need to stop that.
What's the I?
I, implement rules and boundaries. We can sit here and talk about this until the cows come home, my grandma would say. unless you actually implement them, really put an action plan together, decide what you're going to do. If you have an adult child living at home that sleeps until noon and doesn't work and you're paying everything, you know what? Implement some rules. It's time to
help
change.
Him pack.
It's time. There you go. So it's actually doing something, not just discussing it or crying about it, and then following the consequences, looking what the consequences are. And I talk a lot about consequences because there's a lot of them. You know, when you cut that money chain off, what happens? My son, the last time I saw my son, the last time I held him, he was in my car and he said, Mom, tonight I'm going to go sleep under a bridge. He didn't have a place to sleep that night. I knew this. I could have brought him home with me. He's lived on my couch, on my floor, time after time after time. This wasn't working. He was running from the law. He had warrants out for his arrest. I could have said, come on home, Chris. He didn't ask him to come home. He would have come home, but I couldn't
and
do
everything
it.
Inside of
everything
you.
Inside of me wanted to bring him home. You know, and I watched him walk down the street, and I thought, I said, God, please keep him safe. I can't do this. You know, he was 34 years old then, homeless, had lost everything. You know, but multiple times, this has happened multiple times. You know, he's been in and out of rehabs, in and out. I said, well, you know, I'll pray for you, son. I'll drive you to a shelter if you want to go to a shelter. He said, no, nobody's got any room for me now. So he got out of my car. I didn't know what would happen. He turned himself in that night, and he's been in jail ever since. But he needed to accept the consequences for his actions. I didn't do what it was that he did that got the warrants out for his arrest. I wasn't responsible for him losing his apartment. I wasn't responsible for these things. And mm-hmm. I had to really realize, and it's hard. It's tough. Tough love is tough, you know.
What's the T?
T is trust your instincts. I have so many parents I talk to that say, you know, I just knew he was dealing drugs. I knew something was going on. I have a mom that the SWAT team broke her door down. They found a safe in her son's floor of his bedroom where he was dealing methamphetamine. She then became an accessory and had to spend most of her life savings to clear her name. And she didn't know anything about this. But she said, you know, Allison, I just kind of felt something wasn't right. And often the Holy Spirit, you know, talks to us. We have shut down that still small voice. You know, we've shut it down a lot. Listen to it. Listen to it. And then act on it. Trust your instincts is T.
What's the why?
Why is the hardest and the most important to get sanity. And it's yield everything to God. When I finally realized that rescuing my son was playing God, was taking God's role, then I couldn't do it anymore. When I had that realization that I thought I was, you know, I knew more than God did.
Who helped you come to that point?
God helped me come to that
point.
Yeah,
you didn't read it in a book. You were so desperate.
You know, that's it. Yeah. And I read a lot of books. I mean, a lot of us are reading them. I mean, these parents that are going through this, we're reading everything we can get our hands on. And we've got to really get to the point where we just say, no more. No more. God, you just take them. You do what you can do. I mean, help me get through this. But
Allison, what are you hearing from the parents? You have now given this speech, and it's break time or you're through. What happens?
They cry. They weep. We cry together. I cry a lot. with moms, mostly are moms that just say, I don't know what to do. He's in jail or she is, or they're on drugs and I've lost my money. I've lost my job. I've lost my marriage. I mean, it's just
drugs and alcohol are right there in the middle of it all.
Oh, it's huge. It's a huge issue. And then the parents fighting because they can't agree on the way to handle this situation.
And the father is often so angry, he's ready to kill the kid.
Oh, the dynamics are... It's amazing. But I am hearing from people that they are getting sanity. This is what I talk about. It's just stepping back and stopping these behaviors, putting an action plan together, really hanging together with other people. You know, that support group is so important.
All right. You've made reference twice to an action plan. What is it and how do you develop it?
You sit down and you develop a plan to either launch your child out of the house if they're still living with you, or if they aren't living with you, whatever what the issues are that are the problems. It's really identifying what you want.
Well, let's go to the beginning.
Okay.
You've now drawn these conclusions, and you ask to sit down with your son or daughter, and you have a conversation. I assume... Mm-hmm. You don't do that.
See, so many of us have had these conversations with these kids already.
They don't believe it.
Exactly. Or we sit down and we say, now let's talk about how we can do this together. Now you're going to get up at 8 o'clock, right? And you're going to go to work, right? This is an adult, okay? You're going to go to work because you have to go to work now. So I'll get you up. Hello. No, that doesn't work.
And you say,
once everything.
You know what? Again, without incrimination and all of the anger that is frequently evident throughout this kind of conversation, you sit down and say, you know what? It is really time to go. You're a man. You've got to stand on your own 2 feet. I've done all I can do, so let's get packed up, and I'm going to have to say goodbye to you.
Exactly. If that is what you've decided in your action plan, yes, absolutely. But plan that out first. That's what I'm encouraging parents to do. Really plan out step by step by step and look at the consequences first. Now, if you do put them out, if you do cut the checkbook off, what are the possible consequences? Now, there are parents, and I've talked to them, and I know these parents that have stopped the money chain. The child has gone out and overdosed and is now dead. The consequences...
Well, that's one of the fears, isn't it?
It's a horrible fear. Suicide. It's a horrible fear.
Yeah.
Or a drug overdose or any number. I encourage in the action plan to look at everything that you... What do you want? What are your goals as a parent? Do you want them out of the house or do you want them to... whatever it is, set that out, look at your consequences and come to discuss this with them with love, and that's really hard. You've got to be calm. You're not negotiating with them. This is not a, you know, let's discuss this, and, you know, I want you out on the 4th, but you're going to negotiate, and you'll be out on the 10th. This is not, you know, you really, as the parent.
In your book, Allison, you list the things that people are afraid of, why they're so terrified in this conflict that they're involved in. And you said, here are the ones you most commonly hear. Fear of what will happen to the child if you don't provide him or her what they want, money primarily. Secondly, fear of being rejected by the child and accusations of not being loved by them. Those are very real fears. Fear of what others may think. Fear of living with guilt in the event that the child harms himself or others. That also is a very real possibility. And then you name two sources of guilt. Guilt to ease the regret of earlier years of poor parenting, and guilt that comes from thinking that it's the right thing to do as a Christian. Elaborate on some of those. I think they're self-explanatory, but they're very good.
Well, they are. Those are the things I hear from parents. The fear is very real that if they don't help, their child will not make it. There really is that fear that if we don't do what they need to be doing, they're not going to do it. But you know what I challenge them with? How do you know? How do you know that God might have a plan? How do you know when you step back that your adult child may show you an amazing side you've never seen because you keep coming in? Now, I'd like to be positive and think that way. We don't know it. I didn't know what would happen in my son's life, but I had to believe that God had a better plan than me.
Now I'm going to throw a monkey wrench into the whole discussion.
Yes.
And it's not one that you're not familiar with. But when you start saying there are consequences out there and the child might harm himself or others and so on, I can almost hear voices coming back from the parents who say, yes, but there are grandchildren. I can't not try to rescue my son or daughter because I'm trying to reach those grandchildren and save them. That makes it even harder, doesn't it?
It makes it tremendously harder. And I always ask parents that bring that up, if you feel your grandchildren are in harm's way, if you feel they are not eating, if they really are living in a car, you need to do what you need to do legally to protect your grandchildren. I tell them that right away. It's another dynamic. It's another, and we have grandparents raising their grandchildren. But you can't, you've got to do it legally if you're going to be raising them because often these addicts use these children as pawns. They're pulling the grandkids in and out of these homes. It's frightening. It's frightening. So I tell, you know, when the grandchildren issue is involved, it's a slippery slope you're walking on.
Right. Let's say it straight out. If you've got a grandchild who is being abused or is not having their needs met for proper nutrition and care.
Correct.
You go to Child Protective Services and report your own child.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I have friends that are raising their grandchildren that have adopted them. I actually have one that's just gone through a 3.5-year adoption for her own grandchildren. But if that's what you need to do, and that's what's on your heart to do, and you need to protect those children, that's what you need to do.
You know, my heart really goes out to those people. We're talking to them right now. They had gotten their job done raising their children, and they thought they were through. And they're too old now to be doing the kind of things they have to do to chase a toddler. And the other, some of them are 65, 70, 75 years of age, and they've got babies and children on their hands.
Yes.
Boy, I tell you, I could weep thinking about them.
Well,
and there are a lot of them out there, more than ever, as the family disintegrates. It makes me so angry that Hollywood glamorizes infidelity and glamorizes finding someone new and all those things. And it's the children that are decimated in this kind of situation. And then you dump them on some older parents who really shouldn't be having to handle that at this time.
It is challenging. And yet I do say to them, if they are raising them and they are there, they need to take the legal precautions to protect those children.
And then you do what you have to do with the Lord's help.
Exactly. Amen.
At least I think it helps for us to say, we understand what you're going through out there. Allison, you use the word hope here. We've talked about some pretty scary things. Is there hope? Are you seeing people healed? Are you seeing people who understand and catch this concept of tough love?
Absolutely. Our God is about restoration and salvation and love, and it is possible, and you can find hope. Yes, you can. I'm seeing it everywhere. I'm not saying they're finding this suddenly easy. It's not easy, but there is hope. There's hope for my son. My son is, you know, 1 year into a 4-year prison sentence. He is writing me letters. I've never heard from him like this.
I saw one of them that he wrote to you.
The poem, yes.
He is really, for the first time, understanding what he's put you through.
He's in Bible study. He's reading books daily. You know, God needed to put him there. He needed to be where he is, because it is a difficult place. And it's difficult to hear how many parents are going through this. It's so prevalent. You know, I just ache because I want them to have joy and know that the Lord will provide. It's not just a platitude you can say, you know, because it does bring me peace. I mean, God has a plan. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what's going to happen. The truth will set you free. And I'm walking in biblical, I'm walking in grace. I'm reading, I'm learning what that means. You know, me as a mom, I'm going through a different life. And these parents need to look at their own hearts and see what God wants to do in their life. When I stopped living my son's life and started living.
There are very few that have a greater compassion or passion for what they're trying to communicate than you have, mm-hmm. because you have lived it. This is not an intellectual thing with you. This is not just a matter of saying, I think there's something here that might be useful to people. You have walked this path, and you know the individuals out there. You're talking to them on a daily basis. And I believe you really do have a message for this generation. And I trust the Lord will continue to bless it, bless this book. The title of it is Setting Boundaries with Your Adult Children, 6 Steps to Hope and Healing for Struggling Parents. For those who are out there who thought there are no answers, there's nothing but confusion and pain and guilt and sorrow and fear, give it a try. See if the Lord won't make use of some ideas that I think come straight out of Scripture. And thank you for caring enough to do this. It really wrenches you emotionally, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
You have had tears in your eyes through both of these programs that we've done.
And I do. I travel around the country, and I weep with these women. But at the end of all that weeping, you know, is a hope that things can be different, that we're not doing the same behaviors, you know, that we're changing, that God will provide a way. And I never, ever give up hope that God's going to restore my son. And I tell that to these women, to these other moms. God will make a way where there seems to be no way.
Blessings to you,
and
Allison.
You as well. Thank you.
Allison Botke, the author of the book Setting Boundaries with Your Adult Children. And we'll talk again one of these days.
Thank you so much.
Well, that concludes a deeply meaningful and powerful conversation today here on Family Talk, featuring our own Dr. James Dobson and his in-studio guest, Allison Botke. Now, Allison is the author of a number of series of books, including the Setting Boundaries series and God Allows U-Turns series. Today, the topic of conversation with Setting Boundaries with Your Adult Children, and it's the true story that Allison went through and lived with her son, Christopher, as he was going through a season of rebellion that actually wound up leading him to prison. Allison followed that book up with another one the following year called How to Connect with Your Troubled Adult Children, Effective Strategies for Families in Pain. And we have a link for both of those resources in our online resource center at drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk. Now, during the last half hour, Allison was sharing with Dr. Dobson her acrostic for keeping your sanity. And the acrostic has some powerful principles that are worth repeating. First, stop hoarding your hurts. Second, assemble supportive people. Third, nip excuses in the bud. Fourth, implement a plan of action. Fifth, trust the voice of the Holy Spirit. And sixth, yield everything to God. That's the best way for a person of faith who has a child who's wandering in rebellion, an adult child, to keep your sanity. And by the way, in case you might be wondering, since this interview was recorded a couple of years ago, since that time, Christopher has been released from prison, and now he's growing in his relationship with the Lord and rekindling and reestablishing a healthy relationship with his mom. By the way, speaking of healthy relationships, one of the ways that you keep Family Talk going and growing strong is with your prayers and faithful financial support. This is just a reminder that coming up after Thanksgiving, the Tuesday after Thanksgiving is referred to as Giving Tuesday. This is a day when you have an opportunity to make a special contribution in support of your favorite nonprofit organization online. Of course, we recommend Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, and your gift will be doubled this coming Tuesday, December 3rd, only for that day. So make plans to be praying about how much the Lord would have you partner with us financially, and then make that note. Tuesday, December 3rd, Giving Tuesday. Give your best gift online at drjamesdobson.org or call us at 877-732-6825. Well, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, the voice you trust for the family you love.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.